Good morning, planet Earth. Good morning to the 17 different tribes that guard the sacred mountains of Utah. Good morning to the people that live in the tombs below Salt Lake City, filled with ghosts and robot ghosts. Good morning to the swamp creatures that live around the Great Salt Lake and to the monstrous amoeba and many tentacled jellyfish of the Salt Lake. Good morning. Good morning to the coyotes who are forming up to attack us to take all of our protein. Good morning to the bears and the wolf bears and the ape wolves and all the other creatures coming for our goodies. Good morning to Bigfoot, who is currently sharpening spears. Good morning to Bigfoot, who is currently sharpening spears. Good morning, Bigfoot. Good morning, Bigfoot. Make sure you rub some poop on that spear. It is August the 20th, Friday, 2021, in the era, in the age of Boblimpdoc, an age of elves and fairies, an age of mutants and robots covered in grease, an age of people gone mad looking for their own cocaine satisfaction, an age of scrumbly folk scouring the streets at midnight, looking for cats or dogs or rats or pigeons, something to cook over the barrel, something to have with your drink. We're living in a special kind of age, an age of tunnels and rats, an age of viruses and bats, an age of human conglomulus. If you're listening on shortwave radio, this is 5950 kilohertz, WRMI. Out of Miami, Okeechobee. It's either Saturday night or Sunday night, and it's sometime between 11 p.m. and midnight Eastern Standard Time, if such things matter in the age of Boblimpdoc. Does it matter in the age of burning fires, of pillars of smoke? Does it matter if your dog can speak? Does it matter if your mind is weak? Are you okay on this Friday? Or whatever day it is you're listening. First topic. So there's a lot of talk about like FOMO. And when I say there's a lot of talk about FOMO, FOMO has been the meme acronym, the ridiculous obsession, the only truth since the 2008 financial crisis. It really has been the thing. Because every day, especially since the flash crash of 2010, every day people who observe the markets observe some very interesting things that are very predictable, guaranteed to happen. And so why not just accept it? Why do we need to question the behavior of the markets? Why do we need to question the integrity of Chairman Powell or the Federal Reserve? Why would we question the integrity of any of the officials? Let's just, you know, participate. But more than participate, you must be afraid of not participating. You must be afraid to not buy a Bitcoin. You must be afraid to not mortgage yourself up the butt. You must not be afraid to buy that new car. You must not be afraid to get that HELOC. You must not be afraid to go back to school. It's only going to cost you $58 billion. Fear of missing out. If you listen to my podcast, you know that I question things like the FEMA camps and the black-clad troops and all the manipulative nonsense that people are being fed over the internet and specifically over social media. My main message has been you need to disconnect from this stuff a little and ask some serious questions. And if you see rubber cones, if you see rubber cones and you don't see concertina wire, that should be an immediate indication that it's bullshit. So if you're watching some riot in Portland and you see the cops and the BLM doing the hokey pokey right around a whole line of rubber cones, that's called bullshit. Reality doesn't have rubber cones. Reality has concertina wire. You can kill yourself just setting up concertina wire. It would be really hard to kill yourself putting a rubber cone into the street, but just deploying concertina wire and not doing it the correct way, not having the gloves, maybe you're drunk, maybe you accidentally fall into the triple strand after you set it up and it slits your throat, because that's how messy concertina wire is. But y'all watch the videos and you think they're true. Y'all, you can look back upon the first Gulf War and you can mock that woman that went to the Senate or the Congress and said that the Iraqi soldiers were tossing babies out of incubators. We all know the story was crap now, so why are so many of you parroting this Taliban nonsense? I don't know how bad the Taliban are. They could all be wretched. The only problem is what we've been doing in their country for 20 years is wretched. So if it's a competition between scumbags, I say the home team wins and we should just pack up and go. We have been murdering men, women, and children in Iraq, in Afghanistan, all over the world using drone strikes and special ops and God knows what. But a lot of Americans are turned over the axle because they see propaganda video about the Taliban doing terrible things. This could be true. I don't know. But I don't need to know this. I don't need to know that my own government has violated its social contract. I don't need to be proven that our own government has pissed on the Constitution. I don't need any evidence that our own government has given in to mind control and psyops and is abusing whatever privilege it thinks it has. I don't need people to go to Afghanistan and fight for freedom for people. Why don't we start here at home? Before we complain about our neighbor's house, before we complain about their bushes being overgrown and there's too much garbage in their backyard, why don't you clean your own backyard first? Why don't you mow your own lawn? Why don't you take care of your own business before you start pointing fingers at other people? But yeah, it's so big now because you got to look at these videos, the terrible videos that are so real. And then, if there is anybody to comment on it, 10 years from now, somebody will say, well, it was garbage. But right now, it seems so real, and at least it takes your mind off the fact that your freedom, your dignity is being destroyed by the people that you want to go back to Afghanistan to do what now? Of all the fears that Americans have developed, fear of missing out has to be one of the worst because it really does appeal to some of the worst features of the human mind and human experience. It's one thing to take calculated risks, and entrepreneurs do this all the time, but fear of missing out is literally the belief that if you're not part of the crowd moving towards some direction, there's something wrong with it. No. Often it's far wiser to let the crowd go whatever crazy direction it's going and then figure out what's going on. And if once in a while the crowd is right, fine. Sometimes, you know, that broken clock can be right once or twice a day depending upon how it measures time, right? 24 hours or 12. But the point is, a broken clock is right at least once a day. One moment of the day, and yeah, every once in a while, the crowd will hustle in a certain direction, and that crowd will be correct. But I kind of think that's crazy. You know, written above the entrance of a concentration camp during World War II was Arbeit macht frei, work shall set you free. Work shall set you free. But written above any camp that Americans will walk into will be FOMO. Fear of missing out. Oh my gosh, there's something going on in here. Something exciting. Oh, click, click, click. You know, tell people that there's this really cool booth. This really fancy booth. It's so cool. It's so cool. It's right next to the Taco Bell. Right next to the entrance to the walk-in freezer. It's a really cool booth. You go there and it tells you who you'll fall in love with and your future and all kinds of great things. This wonderful booth next to the Taco Bell. If you go there and go inside, you'll see something amazing. Fear of missing out is why people will walk voluntarily into a suicide booth. People, oh, did you know your friends are at Camp X-Ray? Oh my gosh, they're at Camp X-Ray. Well, I better go. Hey, do you have a bus leaving? Yeah, it's loading up right now. Oh, that's wonderful. Can you get me on the bus to that camp where my friends are? Oh yeah, they're so happy there. You're missing out. Well, I hope to get there in time. Tonight is Salisbury steak. Tell people there's a great deal on Bitcoin. There's a fantastic deal on Bitcoin if you go to the Walmart. If you go down to the Walmart, Walmart's built a machine. It's a great deal. You'll get Bitcoin at 99% off. Just stand over that spot and pull the lever. Just pull that lever and you'll get some free Bitcoin. Your buddy Jim, your buddy Bob, they pulled the lever. Now look at these pictures of them having a great time in Boca or Boca or wherever. Tell a bunch of people that if they take the vaccine, they'll get free pizza. If you take the vaccine, you get free pizza. With every shot, you get a pizza while supplies last, right? Tell people that if you get the vaccine, you'll get superpowers. Yeah, they tell you that mRNA, RNA, reprogrammable operating system, gumbo juice they want to give you. It will make you into Superman, Batman, maybe Queen of Sheba, Wonder Woman. You'll have the power of tryptophan juice. You'll be able to use the golden lasso. And you'll fall in love with the Green Lantern. And you'll live someplace special if you just take the vaccine. You want to miss out on being a super person? You want to miss out on reading minds? You want to miss out on talking to your cat or dog. Just take the vaccine. And you'll have superpowers. I tell you, of all the crazy, dumb fears that exist in this world, and there are a lot of crazy, dumb fears, the fear of missing out is one of the dumbest. I'm not saying don't take risks. I'm not saying don't try new things. But there's a big difference between trying something new based upon your own experience, your own knowledge, or trying something new because the crowd is just moving in a certain direction. I'll say this again, and I'll keep repeating it. Just because a crowd of people are moving in a certain direction doesn't mean you should follow them. In a lot of cases, that's a bad sign. You're better off letting that crowd run in whatever crazy direction it wants to, because either that crowd is chasing something, and it could be people like you, or that crowd is being chased by something, and why would you want to add to the dinner plate? Fear of missing out. Next topic. So I sometimes purvey social media to get an idea of where some of the people that might be real on social media might be thinking about. I don't know how much of it's real. I know it's very manipulated, but there might be a few real people out there. I've met a few people off of social media, so who knows? Maybe a few are real, but there's a lot of BS too. You got to be careful. I'm just saying. But every once in a while, I'll catch people doing this thing. Okay, so like the Biden administration says, we're going to forgive 320,000 people's worth of student loans. And you'll have people say, well, I just don't think that's right. I worked hard and did the right thing. Stop right there. Unless you live in Galt's Gulch, unless you live someplace on an island, you live on the same corrupt Death Star as I do. You live in the United States of subsidies, and everybody has their favorite subsidy. I know, it's really easy to beat up on people that basically were told you should go to college and get student loans because you'll make money. Listen, they may have been dumb, but that was the only information they had. They had public schools. They had parents who were also educated in public schools. So you can be judgmental, but then so can I. I can tell you about your Fannie and your Freddie and your various banking instruments that allows your little home flipping economy to work. We could spend all day talking about the home flipping economy and how much of a welfare queen a person is if they take out that mortgage. Because I'll tell you something, that mortgage is not backed by free enterprise. That mortgage is backed by a corrupt system. So you're a welfare queen too? You know that smart device you have? That tablet, that iPhone, that Android device? That device is subsidized. Did you know that? Did you know that it's heavily subsidized and taxed? Are you aware of how much of that industry is built off of stolen money? So if you're going to be Mr. or Mrs. preach at people who got their student loans forgiven for being dumb enough to think a university had any truth to teach, take your smart device, take your iPhone, put it in the microwave and put the setting at popcorn. And let's continue. Take your home that you bought with a Fannie Freddie loan or a VA loan. But I earned my VA loan. Yeah, I know. By participating in piracy. I understand all of this. I have a VA loan I've never used. I tried to in 2014, and I found out how truly corrupt the banking system was, and I never went through with it. But please, by all means, tell me about your right to a subsidy. The internet is subsidized. Your electricity is subsidized. House flipping is subsidized. Agriculture is subsidized. The weapons industry, the boom, 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 let's vaporize the human race, heavily subsidized. Healthcare industry, subsidized. Auto industry, subsidized. Too big to fail. I can go on forever. Everybody in America loves to point the finger at somebody else and say, there's the welfare queen. There's the person taking. No. Everybody in the system that is taking a subsidy, which basically means everybody in some way, even me, even with the tiny bit of pittance I make in the most indirect way possible, the systems I use to make that money, that's right, subsidized. So why are we beating up on each other? Why are homeowners beating up on student loan idiots? Why? Why? What benefit do you get? This goes back to something we talked about the other day, and it's kind of important. There are a lot of people in the liberty movement that think there's something they're going to get back. Like, well, I'm owed a refund. They stole my money and I'm owed a refund. What? And again, I say, what part of stealing don't you understand? The money is not in a hoard someplace. It's not Lincoln's gold. The money is in tanks and ammo and helicopters we left behind in Afghanistan. The money is in a giant pile of nuclear waste we gave to the Marshall Islanders. The money is in a burning, toxic, radioactive tire dumpster fire underground in St. Louis. The money is everywhere and nowhere. And if you want to go dig up radioactive waste in the Marshall Islands, God bless and go. That's your tax dollars at work. There's your frickin' refund. But stop with this complaining about other people being bigger welfare queens. If you live in the United States of America, newsflash, no matter who you are a welfare queen and a commie, and you participate in a scheme, in a racket. I'm hoping the racket falls apart soon, but so many people love it. They love their gimmies. They love their freebies. They earn their VA loan. They earn their Social Security. They earn this and they earn that. No, 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 no. You may have had money stolen, newsflash, other people did too. You may have had money taken from your check, newsflash, other people had money stolen and taken too. If you think that any of that stolen money is owed to you, that's not how thieves work. That's not how rackets work. If you are lucky enough to go through the racket and die, which means, let's say you were born in 1920, you died in the year 2000, you got your Social Security, everything worked out. But does that mean the racket was good? If you died getting all your money back, does that mean the racket wasn't corrupt? No. Bernie Madoff had lots of people that made money with him. Bernie Madoff had people that succeeded with him. And then they died, and then they checked out. And to keep his pyramid scheme going, he made payments as much as he could within the confines of the economics of all grifts, all cons, all forms of fraud. But just because one or two people might have been made whole and made money with Bernie Madoff does not imply it wasn't a pyramid scheme. It was. But I swear, so many people, and way too many in the liberty movement, spend too much time thinking about two things. Number one, how do I get back my stolen money that the government took? Give up on that. You need to throw that one away. Number two, why are there so many people getting subsidies and I don't get them? Throw that away, because whether you know it or not, you're getting all kinds of subsidies. If you're mining Bitcoin out there, or Ethereum, or Dogecoin, or some other kind of dumbass coin, your entire enterprise is subsidized by relatively, and still true today, relatively cheap electricity in the United States. That's not going to last, though. That's not going to last. Just like every scheme, it will fall apart. But if you mine coin, you are subsidized. If you don't want to admit it to yourself, you don't have to. I know it. Other people know it. We need to stop that. We need to understand there's a reason why they float these stories about, well, we'll forgive these people and we'll help these people, but we won't help those people. Maybe the people making those decisions are not remotely ethical enough to make them. Maybe your vote doesn't work, and maybe we need to stop complaining about other people that we think have gotten more money from the grift than we did. And probably most importantly, we need to accept something that's way too scary for most of you. The grift is going to end one day. The con will end one day. There is nothing long term about pyramid schemes. Nothing. They all fail. That's what scares people. That's why people get so angry about the student loan thing, or the welfare queen, or the damn homeless person that, I don't know, took a fucking half of a cheeseburger out of a garbage can so that they could eat something that day. Feel free to complain about those people. But remember, when the day comes that you need help and compassion, someone like you might be the person at a door. Might be the person with a bowl of soup. Just a thought. We need to stop beating up on each other, brothers and sisters, and we need to recognize that we all have a common enemy, and it's government. And specifically, our federal government. If you believe in your city or your state, fine. If that can work correctly, great. But Washington, D.C., the imperial city, what it's become is an abomination. And what for a lot of people, the reason why they beat up on each other is because they don't want to put that thought into their head that one day their Social Security check will run out. One day there won't be any money to prop up the real estate market. One day nobody will subsidize your phone. And I don't think that day is very far away. And I have no idea what happens after that because we've been so lied to. I myself do not fully understand the lay of the terrain. You know, in that military sense, we've had so much smoke dropped on us. Until the smoke clears, we don't even know what we're preparing for. We don't. We don't even know what's beyond the smoke. That's how much lying is happening right now. That's how much deception is happening right now. So please, like I mentioned earlier, focus on Afghanistan. God forbid you think about Chicago, or LA, or Detroit, or New York City, or any of the other dumpster fires in the United States of America. God forbid we take care of our own business when we could go around the world and just preach to other people and drop bombs on them. God forbid we look at our own subsidies. You know, when it's easier to blame other people for taking subsidies. God forbid, right? God forbid. You know, there's discussion off and on about civil war scenarios. Well, will there be a civil war? And I've already mentioned that I kind of think it's possible we could have a civil war where almost no bullets are fired. Maybe that's wishful thinking, but we will find out. We could have a peaceful divorce. But if we did have a civil war, I'm beginning to see it clearly. It won't be black versus white or different races versus different races or religions versus religions or commies versus capitalists. All of that is bullshit. None of that represents reality. If we have a civil war, there will be various clans, the agro-subsidy clan of the Midwest, with General Monsanto in charge, and Admiral ADM. Then there'll be the real estate flipper subsidy clan, the Grungus freaks of Mercer Island, the Krongo freaks of San Francisco. Yes, there'll be a real estate house flipper clan. They will demand their subsidy as well. There'll be a Social Security boomer clan. They will be armed with baseball bats. They will have an army of house cats. The boomer Social Security clan will have an army of rabid house cats. And then there's the early childcare clan. Moms, you know, hardworking, heroic, single moms and dads. Raising kids, oh, so poignant. They have a subsidy to help out with their kid. And what kind of a bastard are you to take it away? Yes, the early childcare clan will be made up of single moms and dads and their kids, and that'll be really great. And then there's the school lunches clan and the inner city barely alive on welfare because you were never intended to succeed clan. And then there's the government worker pension clan. And then there's the military vet clan. Spoiler alert. Spoiler alert. The military pension clan will probably win the war in the year 2032. They achieve total victory, and then they find yes, in the year 2032, the military pension vet clan, subsidy clan, will win a great victory in the civil war of those people that feel their subsidies are the most important. And of course, the crypto electric people were killed in the first 3 days. Other freaks were wiped out. Mostly the people that live are the ones that choose not to participate in the stupidity. They went to the mountains. They're okay. They're just watching with popcorn, beer, and organic food. But yes, in 2032, the military pension vet clan achieves total victory in the subsidy civil war. They find the hoard. They find the vault. They find the cavern. They find the gold cavern. They open the door to the great cavern. And with great aplomb and ostentatious pride and excitement and all sorts of merry-going and drinking, they open the great doors to the great hoard that has all the stolen wealth of the United States of America. It doesn't smell too good. A couple bats fly out. A little scraggly cat comes through the door. A bunch of rats go running. Yes, they go into the great cavern with their flashlights. And they find a big empty space. But in reality, that's a nice version of the story. You see, it's not as simple as all your money has been stolen. It's not as simple as this is a grift and a con. They took your money, and for 200 years, the U.S. government did thousands upon thousands of stupid projects. Some of them not so bad. Some of them involve, I don't know, cultivating Lyme disease. Yeah, that was really helpful. Tell me, does that fit into the gold hoard category? They fracked for natural gas a couple times with tactical nuclear weapons. Would you like to have that wellhead, Mr. and Mrs. My Subsidy Is Owed Me? You see, there is no wealth hoard. There is nothing left. It is a giant broken thing. They are so poor and so stupid, they leave crap behind. And it's not always about being stupid. Let's focus on being poor. There are people that are so poor that when they get kicked out of their place, they can't take all their stuff with them. Did you know that? You know, if you walk around where I was living in Seattle, you'll see lots of stuff left by the wayside because people were kicked out of their place before the monkey herpes and they couldn't take all their stuff with them. So when you think about Afghanistan and all the stuff left behind, you can say, oh, well, that was a gift to the Taliban. Maybe. Or maybe it's something a little bit scarier that you do not want to confront. Because for some reason, you expect your subsidy to always be there. Even though you complain about the government, you complain about commies, you don't really complain about your subsidy, whatever it is. But Dan, it's owed me. Yeah. Nothing is owed from a crook, dummy. Nothing is owed from a criminal. Criminals don't owe you anything. They might give you something, but they don't owe you anything. And they won't pay you anything on purpose by choice. The only thing a crook will do, like Bernie Madoff, is make out payments to keep the thing floating, to make it look real. That's what they're doing. They're continuing payments as best as they can. But can you at least potentially contemplate the idea that the reason why we left all that equipment behind is because our government is broke? And they can't afford to take the stuff home. Next topic. I'm going to read an article. I'm going to read an article from the Daily Beast, and we'll see if you enjoy it. Headline. Star Trek actress Nichelle Nichols struggling with dementia. Trapped in conservatorship battle. This was written by Lawrence Ukenye on August the 15th, 2021, BoBlimpDoc. And I continue. Nichelle Nichols, the actress who played the beloved Nyota Uhura in Star Trek, is caught at the center of a years-long conservatorship battle made worse by her bout with dementia, the Los Angeles Times reports. Kyle Johnson, her only child, claimed his mother could be exploited due to her dementia and sought a petition for her conservatorship, which he won in 2018. Johnson alleges that Gilbert Bell, Nichols' former manager, has used his influence to take control of Nichols' assets and personal affairs. Bell, in turn, has filed a lawsuit against Johnson, claiming he is orchestrating an aggressive attempt to remove him from Nichols' guest home. In a countersuit, Johnson accuses Nichols of taking control of Mrs. Nichols' assets and personal affairs as her dementia worsened. Angelique Fawcett, a friend of Nichols, whom the actress named as her successor, claims that Bell left the home in a state of disrepair, even as he took care of Nichols' meals and medical appointments, and that Bell proposed that he marry Nichols, prompting concern from her family and friends. However, Fawcett objected to Johnson's petition. Wow, this is terrible. Fawcett objected to Johnson's petition for conservatorship, as she believes the former actress can manage her own affairs. Well, good. I wonder why I read this story. I really do, because it's one of those things where it fits into the category of this is kind of irrelevant. What use do we have for this story? What use do we have to know that Uhura, the sexy African-American woman who played the communications officer on the Enterprise, on that Star Trek show, she had that really short skirt. You always tried to look, but you never really caught a glimpse as she swizzled around on that space chair. But everyone grows old, right? When I was a kid, Star Trek was already in reruns. When I started watching it, I think, you know, I was born in 1970, and I think that it more or less ended either that year or a year later, but it was over pretty soon after it started. It wasn't really a long-lasting show. It had a lot of impacts, I guess, culturally, and a lot of folks, you know, wanted a Star Trek movie, and then we had two movies, and then we had so many Star Trek movies that we had to build a computer to count them, and that was pretty depressing. I don't know what to tell you about the story about Nichelle Nichols. I think that probably a lot of folks get taken advantage of, especially celebrities, actors, actresses like Nichelle. And then at a point in their life when they could use help, people kind of just come on in to take what's left. It's kind of sad. And I have no idea how severe the dementia is for her. I had an uncle that had dementia, and he died in the last year or so. I've known people who've dealt with parents and loved ones who have Alzheimer's or dementia, and it can be really hard. And it can be so hard because it might seem as if at some point the person you love is gone. The problem with this story is that I am unclear as to the mental state of Nichelle Nichols, and so this whole thing just looks sordid. It looks kind of greasy, you know? It looks like the kind of thing that you wouldn't expect to have happen to somebody who is arguably one of these pop culture icons of the late 20th century. You know, whatever you might think of Nichelle Nichols as an actress, her influence upon culture is without question because that entire show had an impact. I'm not saying it was all good. In retrospect, I think some of the impact wasn't so good. But you can't question the impact. But as far as Star Trek goes, it's like I said, I think you can't question the impact, but you can question the influence and the ideas. When I watched Star Trek as a kid, I thought, oh, this is cool. You know, Captain Kirk and the Federation. It's like the United States going around helping people out like we just did in Vietnam. Of course, if Ronald Reagan gets elected, then we'll undo the Vietnam thingy and we'll all be Americans again. Good. Growing up the way I did in a relatively small town in the far-flung state of Washington State, in some ways I was very sheltered because in the 1970s and 80s, it may have been crappy in a lot of other cities. Other cities may have been going down the hole, but Mount Vernon, Washington wasn't. So when you would hear stories about the chaos in the cities, it'd be like, wow, that sounds terrible. But you don't really have a basis for comparison. Not if you grew up in Mount Vernon, Washington in the 1970s and 80s. So back then, I'd look at Star Trek and I'd say, wow, you know, going through space and helping people, helping out tribes, doing favors, stopping bad guys. But what you never really talk about are the repercussions or the failures. Sometimes they talk about the failures. You could argue that the whole Wrath of Khan crapola, which produced two movies in the series, was a lot about a failure in a way. I mean, think about it. Kirk picks up these angry humans from the late 20th century that are all mutated and have superpowers. They try to take over the ship. He takes them to a planet and drops them off. Fine. That is a form of imprisonment. If you're going to imprison people and you're a decent person, but again, imprisoning people kind of implies you might not be, but if you're going to imprison people, wouldn't it make sense to check up on them? Wouldn't you want to check up on them? And if you think they're dangerous, if you think they're the most dangerous people ever, and brothers and sisters, you need to think on what I'm saying. Because human beings, whether you like it or not, are born dangerous. We are born capable of killing in ways that no tiger, no bear, no shark could ever freaking imagine. Ever. So if you tell me there are super mutated, super dangerous tiger beavers on SETI Alpha 5 or SETI Alpha 6, I say you install some cameras and keep an eye on the battle cruisers they're building. Because ordinary people are dangerous. But no. What we really don't get a lot of in Star Trek are the mistakes. Very rarely do we hear about the mistakes. Very rarely do we hear about their interventions going awry. But knowing what I know now, I'm guessing that happened a lot. You know, of course, this is fictional. Or rather, in the counterfactual hypothetical world of Star Trek, my guess is it would happen a lot. The Prime Directive is a good example, and it's a lot like the oath that officers take to the U.S. Constitution. I remember taking my oath. I remember my oath. It was to protect and defend the U.S. Constitution. It wasn't to protect and defend Bill Clinton or Hillary Clinton, even though Bill was in office. It wasn't to protect and defend the senators or the congresspeople or any other person or regulator or bureaucrat. It was to protect and defend a promise. A promise that was made, a promise that was meant to be kept, a promise that we will be a free country. But like the Prime Directive, no one ever took it seriously. No one still does. If officers in our military took their oaths seriously, assuming they still take an oath to protect and defend the Constitution, which I really don't know that they do, but if they took it seriously, Washington, D.C. would pretty much be in a state of chaos right now. You would probably have a state of war in that city if those officers took the road seriously, but they don't. So for all the fancy fanfare and hoopla of Star Trek, what you're left with is a bunch of marauders that go around the universe interfering in other people's shit without remotely understanding what's going on, fixing it with sarcastic quotes over a podcast, and then taking off and going away, and in many cases, never checking in again. Sounds like the Federation's a bunch of scumbags. Scumbags and pirates wearing fancy uniforms, going around and helping you. We're here to help you. We're here to help you. We're going to fix things. But nothing ever gets fixed. I don't know what to tell you. Nothing ever gets fixed. Next topic. So in 2007, I was having dinner in Nashville, I think it was September of 2007, I was having dinner with a friend in Nashville. And this friend was also my boss at the time. His name was David. And he was a really good guy. And we were talking about the war on terror. Because at that time in 2007, it'd been going on for 6 years. And it didn't look like it was going to end anytime soon. We were sitting down having dinner, Nashville, September, I think. Could have been August of 2007. And we were talking about Afghanistan, and I said, listen, I don't know who's going to be president. I don't know who's going to be in charge after Bush is gone. But Afghanistan is going to be a failure. And David was shocked. It's like, well, how could that happen? I said, listen, the reason why I left the military in 1999, not the only reason, but one of many reasons, was the corruption I saw. Okay, I believed in the free republic. I believed that the people wearing the uniform had a duty to protect and defend it. I believed a lot of nonsense when I first entered the service. Within a couple years, all of that got turned upside down. Because the don't lie, cheat, or steal thing, within my first year on active duty in South Korea, I had officers ordering me to lie, ordering me to cheat, ordering me to steal. And so you tell me what you expect to happen in a world like that, where the people you expect to be honorable are pretty much a lot of sociopathic drunks. And the worst of those people are generals today, full-bird colonels today. They are making decisions for U.S. policy today. The worst of the liars and the cheaters and the thieves. They're the ones who are making decisions. And so what I told my friend Dave was, is it's not complicated. There is rot in the United States military, and the net effect of Afghanistan will be like every other failure we've had. And a lot of people will be left to die. And that's what will happen. Dave couldn't believe it. Luckily for Dave, he died a few years later, so he never had to see it, right? Let me tell you a story. A story about, a story about Thomas. And if you're an Afghanistan vet, you might know a Thomas. Thomas was a ranger. Thomas was airborne. Thomas went to Kabul. Thomas went to Afghanistan. Thomas signed up. In 2002, he got his training. He went on over. Thomas got off the plane and took off into the hinterland of Afghanistan, and his first job was to drop off bricks of money to a warlord. Big old bricks of Federal Reserve notes, $100 and $20 bills. Of course, you know, Thomas is light infantry. He expected to do battle with terrorists and great pitched battles. His first job, when he finally got to Afghanistan, was to drive up to a warlord's home where young people were being tortured and killed, where heroin was being processed from opium. His first job was to pay that piece of crap a Humvee's worth, a pallet's worth of $100 and $20 bills. Thomas's next job was to guard a poppy field. Thomas guarded that field for the warlord. One day, a kid from a different group or family or clan, who knows, was wandering in the field, and the warlord, who has his own notion of justice, decided the kid should have his hands cut off. Thomas was the one that stood guard so the warlord could cut off the kid's hands. Thomas is the one that stood guard so the warlord could rape young women and children, boys and girls. Thomas made sure that this nasty, horrible piece of crap could rule over his section of Afghanistan and treat people like animals as long as the heroin got shipped out. And that's the key. Thomas left the military in 2008. Thomas left the military and voted for Obama because Obama was talking about bringing the troops home and whatnot. Thomas hung out with all the anti-war Democrats, believing they were finally serious. Thomas got fooled. Thomas got left behind. Thomas couldn't pay his rent. Nobody was going to help. The VA hospital? They told Thomas that he didn't qualify for help either, so whatever psychological issues he had, he just stewed in them with his PTSD. But then Thomas met a fellow on the street who sold him a little bag of powder. And that little bag of powder contained some magical relief. And so Thomas took a bunch of those bags of powder and got addicted, and eventually, after a few months, Thomas got addicted to heroin, and Thomas spent a couple years on the streets. In 2011, Thomas went home for Thanksgiving. He was still using, but he figured he wanted to see his family at least one last time. Thomas saw his family, and then he took the heroin he had, and he went out into the woods behind his house. He shot himself up with all the heroin, but being a good ranger, he made sure he got the job done right. And so before he shot himself up, he stood on a stump with 550 cord wrapped around his neck, with the other parachute cord wrapped around a limb that he tested like a good ranger. And so as he passed out from the overdose, which was probably going to kill him, he lost his balance and he hung himself. Now, I don't want to talk more about Thomas. If you served in Afghanistan, you probably have stories like that. The funny thing about Thomas is he overdosed on the heroin he guarded. That's the truth of Afghanistan. For all the pictures and all the garbage they're showing you today about all the people that want to toss their babies over the concertina wire so Americans will take them home, which I don't know. What do they think will happen to their babies? To go from one baby-raping warlord in Afghanistan to another baby-raping senator in Washington, D.C. Good job, Mom and Dad. If you served in Afghanistan, you likely knew a Thomas. You could have been one. You might have almost been one. You might have been very close to the point of overdosing on the very drug you defended, you protected. That's why you were there. And if you chose not to kill yourself, God bless. Because for all the things they might have made you do, that is not who you are. And you don't have to be that person. They can't take that away. If I can leave you with one thought out there, if you're a veteran of Afghanistan or Iraq or any of the stupid wars and you have PTSD and you're thinking about hurting yourself, don't. Yeah, we all made stupid decisions and we joined things we shouldn't have joined. But you're not the one who decided to send all those people over there. And yeah, you participated, but you need to forgive yourself and you need to move on. This has been the Planetary Status Report. This has been Dan. This has been WRMI, if you're listening on shortwave radio, WRMI 5950 kHz out of Miami, Okeechobee. Good night.